Super Friends with Eric Esquivel.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Super Friends with Eric Esquivel. I'm that name I just said. And with me today is my friend DJ Kirkbride, my super friend DJ Kirkbride.
Oh, hello.
And today we're going to talk about Superman the movie, which is DJ's first exposure to the character and favorite Superman story.
Yeah, and maybe my favorite anything ever.
It's pretty good. Yeah. It's pretty good, that Superman movie.
Yeah.
So you're a huge Superman fan. I think you and I met each other just at Comic-Cons and making comics, and you look like Clark Kent to me, and that's why I talk to you.
Nice. I get that a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it on purpose? You have the curl going today and the glasses?
That's just my hair. Although when I was a little kid, actually, my mom always told me that I'd have her like make a spit curl in my hair.
Yeah.
Or like use hairspray so I'd have the curl.
That's so great.
So that's real.
I used to have my mom sewed Velcro onto all of my shirts when I was a kid, and I had two Superman capes, and one for night and one for day. They're different colors.
Oh, nice.
And I wore them all the time.
Aw, that's precious. I didn't have that, although I did have an aunt who made one that had like a little fastener, and then I grew up in the era of underoos.
Yeah.
And would just rock the underoos as if they were clothes. My mom said I wouldn't leave the house unless I was either Superman or a cowboy. I don't know.
That's great for a kid phase. I mean, when you're like 30, you have to knock that off.
Well, the thing was, for me, I've always been pretty huge. And
Brag.
No. But like when I was 3, I looked 6 or so. Mm-hmm. So I was running around in my underoos talking like a 3-year-old, and everybody was like, oh, is he okay? Like, you know.
Just uncomfortable. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they thought I was like twice my age. So they expected me to maybe be a little more mature. And I'm like,
and that never ended. I like that. Now your career is in comics and cartoons. And...
Well, yeah.
Were the underoos over the tights or under the tights?
Well, sometimes I'm pretty sure sometimes I should pop on some boots and undies and just go outside. Just bare legged.
It's a hot day today. We should do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, DJ, you actually write comics, which is very cool. Being a Superman fan, that's a fun trajectory. And you write a book called The Bigger Bang, and then later on, The Biggest Bang.
That's right,
which
yeah.
I enjoy a lot.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, mm-hmm. Those are a couple of 4-issue miniseries. Mm-hmm. Is that right? I don't know. That I did with IDW and my co-creator, this fella named Vasily Gogtsilis.
Yeah.
And good. He's a force of nature. And we did, Bigger Bang. And then after that, they asked for another one. So we did Biggest. But after, that's it. You can't go bigger than the biggest. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's talk your exposure to the movie first and Superman, and then later on about how that affected your work on The Bigger Bang. Is that cool?
Sure.
All right. So Superman the movie, when did you see it for the first time?
Well, it came out in like around Christmas in 1978, and I was born in July of 1977. So I know I didn't see it in the theaters or anything. I think I saw it. ABC used to show movies on Sunday nights.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things, too, which was kind of cool, is... Because like this is before VHS. I mean, I'm old, and as before, it's like really common. And they would show the movies in 3-hour blocks. Instead of cutting, they'd add scenes.
Mm.
So there were deleted scenes, like the scene where Superman's going into Lex Luthor's underground lair,
know? The labyrinth.
In the theatrical cut, like some of that stuff, like him getting frozen and some of the fire is actually cut from
it. Yeah, yeah. That sounds great, too.
Yeah, I know. That's the version I saw.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So then when I saw the original, I was like, wait, why are these scenes missing?
I'm jealous. Yeah, that really shows you like the depth of his like his powers and his strength, and he doesn't react to these flames and bullets, and it's really exciting as a kid.
Totally. And that's what was kind of cool, even though I had to like sit through commercials. And I remember, I think I had to stay up, I had to get permission to stay up late, too, when they aired it. But yeah, that's how I discovered Superman was from ABC Family, not ABC Family, just ABC like Sunday night movie. Mm-hmm. And that got me into the cartoons and then the comics. So it's kind of funny. The thing is, like, in my mind forever, Superman looks and sounds like Christopher Reeve.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just forever. Like, yeah.
It's fun that your first exposure was a live action thing, too, because then it feels like Superman's real. Like,
yes.
Did it just feel like a documentary when you were a kid?
Well, I mean, you know, I definitely looked up to him and more than just like enjoying a movie, you know what I mean? Like the character and what's crazy too is like, I didn't know that guy was like 24 or 25 when he shot that
really?
Movie.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. He seems like such an adult.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm so much older than he was then. And I still feel like a mumbly little kid compared to him.
He's always dad.
Yeah.
Christopher Reeve will forever be like, when we're like 95, it'll be like, oh, he's still like so much wiser than I am.
Oh, yeah. No, this is the charm. And yeah, so I love the action. As a kid, I got a little bored with like the Clark Kent stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But as an adult, I adore it. I just didn't get it, how funny it was.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah,
some of the. So anyway, yeah. So yeah, Superman the movie is what got me on this like ridiculous path where now I write stories about big muscular men in tights.
Well, that's a great film. Did you go on to the other films in the franchise?
Were
you...
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. Then
like Richard Pryor and stuff?
Yeah, well, I remember then when Superman 2 came out, I was about 4, but I have a really bad memory, but I remember Superman stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how to get
I'm
home.
The same way.
I don't know how to get home from Meltdown Comics, but I remember Superman.
Yeah. It becomes part of your identity when you're a kid. Like, I'm a Chicano guy, and I speak more Kryptonian than Spanish.
Oh, I remember you reading that. Yeah, I remember you said that somewhere in an interview or something on Facebook, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's hilarious. But, Superman 2, I think we saw at a drive-in, mm-hmm. actually. So I was like 4, my brother was probably 3, and my mom and dad, and we all piled in the car. And one of the things I remember is I really like Superman 2, mm-hmm. but I would call the romance stuff, they were the mushy parts to me.
Yeah.
Like, because my mom and everybody, like, I don't remember her saying she liked 2 better because it was a little more romantic with mm-hmm. Clark and Lois. Mm-hmm. I got bored. So the screen behind us was showing Empire Strikes Back. And I have legit memories of like them having dinner in the Fortress of Solitude and being like, all right. I turn around and just like watch silent Empire Strikes Back behind me. But I still loved them. And then actually the first movie, I think it's either this one or... Either Superman 3 or Return of the Jedi is the first movie I ever saw like in an inside actual movie theater, not in a car. Yeah.
They're so great. And it's funny with Superman, it seems like you have to have been a kid to get into him. Like I love the character. I have tattoos and all my shirts are Superman shirts. Yeah. I did them earlier. And like everyone I know I love Superman. So when I meet him, or when I meet new people, they try to have me expose them to the character. Mm-hmm. And it seems like it's different when you're an adult, obviously. Like Superman is designed for children. It's like a Peter Pan or like...
Well, as he would say in Superman the movie, Peter Pan is for children, Lois.
Yeah, exactly.
Just
exactly.
A fairy tale.
Setting you up.
Yeah. But no, I get that. Although I do think, I mean, I can go into spiels about how
that's
I think.
That's why we're here, man. Let's do this. Good. We're on a Superman podcast.
Yeah. I think Superman's necessary. I mean, there's a childlike thing. I mean, just honestly, the least believable part is the glasses disguise, which we always try to figure out a way to make sense, right? You mm-hmm. know, like you know, Christopher did such a good job slouching, but it's still big, handsome Christopher Reeve. And like Henry Cavill in the new ones, like he's just like a He-Man action figure. Like there's no way, you don't know. He's good, but it's like obviously the same guy.
Sure, sure. But I really like, especially living in LA, like meeting everybody 4 times. Like no one really looks at anybody or takes the time to imprint someone in their memory that way. Like,
that's true.
I like the idea that we're not, when we meet people, we don't see their potential. We see how they are in our story, like how they can serve and benefit us. Take the time to examine them.
Mm-hmm.
And then so Superman is like, he's relevant to everyone's lives. They recognize him, but Clark Kent is just unassuming and he's doing as much good as him, but he's kind of like locked down. It's that old fantasy of a nerd where you're like, if they knew who I really was, they'd recognize me.
Yeah, that's right. We're all heroes deep inside. But what was I saying about Superman? Something
him being
about
like
the
important.
Movie. Oh, important.
To
yes.
adults as well.
Yes. No, I do find him. Actually, I feel like I went through a brief phase where I always liked Superman. I remember in the 90s, like I've got the Death of Superman and the mm-hmm. Return and the Rain and
the
all
mullet
that.
Era. Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, I think I still embrace, I might have a mullet right now just because I haven't gotten a haircut in a while. But I've always loved Superman, but as an adult, sometimes like I feel like I get just as emotional about him now as I did as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just on like this like base like human level, like he's like a beacon of hope and a symbol of goodness that I think we desperately need in this world.
Yeah.
You know, and even though there's definitely like a lot of winks and nudges in the Christopher Reeve Superman movies, mm-hmm. All of them, including the first and best one in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
but there's still like this just like core goodness, and as a kid. I don't know, like I was raised, I was in church and stuff, and I remember going to church and just being scared of going to hell. Like that's all I got from it.
Sure.
But I think really who I looked up to was Superman. Like
that's interesting.
You can do, and it's so almost like, I mean, it's not a religion, but in my little kid brain, it almost like in a way was like that was, he was like my right or wrong. That's why actually in Superman 3, when he goes bad, like it freaked me out.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
traumatized me.
Superman's a great story because we all know that it's a story. We know that it's made up, but mm-hmm. you can take all these great moral lessons from it. And then like with religion, people think that it's real. So they have wars and they kill each other and they hijack planes. And like with these stories, we know for a fact that they're made up and they're just as useful. You can base all your morals on these and you never have to get in a fight with anybody. We don't go to like jihad against Aquaman fans.
Right. Not yet.
You know, no, I mean, that's coming.
No. Yeah. Yeah. We're never going to, I love, you know, yeah, we're never like, I have my best friend growing up, his name's Tad and he's a Batman guy. And sometimes mm-hmm. we joke about, I mean, I like Batman too. Don't get me wrong, but Superman's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to fight over it.
Yeah, yeah.
Physically.
I think when I was a teenage kid, I was kind of like a crummy, like, antisocial atheist kind of guy.
Yeah.
And Superman was my way to access those feelings of like faith and hope and like in a way that was celebrated and not looked down upon by my friends. Like if I was like, I'm really into Jesus, it'd be kind of like cultural suicide. But being really into Superman, that was kind of like, oh, he punches guys. That's cool. And it has the same stories in it. And that was interesting. And
yeah.
There's a lot of crossover there.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Not on accident.
The resurrection.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Some of it's pretty blatant. Even in the Superman, the movie, I mean, even though he's created by two Jewish kids who clearly were not there, there's a Moses allegory.
Yeah, it's Moses. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, when Mankiewicz kind of wrote the script, it kind of became a more of a Jesus allegory. Mm-hmm. And even then, it's like, it's so funny because it is a guy in tights flying around from a planet and he's a superhero and he's fighting crime. So sometimes I do feel silly speaking about it in such a lofty manner, you know, like it's a Christ allegory. But, you know, these are the core of it is like this really pure story that's been around since humans started telling stories.
There's something in humanity that like really needs to believe that power doesn't corrupt.
Yes.
You know, that if there was a being that was infinitely wise, it wouldn't use it to rule people. If you were infinitely strong, you would protect the weaker. Like that's such an attractive and revolutionary idea whenever we tell it in any story. And it's really nice to have that iconography around and remind you that that's an option.
Yeah.
You know, like I like how Grant Morrison says, like before there was the bomb, there was the idea of the bomb. Mm-hmm. And before there was a Superman, there was the idea of a Superman. So now that we know now that we have an example, we can try to live up to that example.
Yeah.
And that's really exciting.
It is. And it's really special. Yeah, I don't know. I've always looked up to Superman. I love it. I don't know.
Are there ways that you can remember that it's impacted you in your life, like directly? Like when you were a kid, when, you know, people have the WWJD bracelets, but guys like you and I have Superman t-shirts.
Right. Well, I mean, when I was a kid, I did dress up in underoos all the time. And I actually have a memory that is kind of special to me. It's kind of a big deal memory, actually. Where I was playing in my grandpa and grandma, we called them Granddaddy and Baba and Granddaddy, that's what we called them. But I don't think Baba was home, my grandma, but Granddaddy was there. And I was running around in their front yard, you know, acting like I was flying, like you do.
Yeah,
and
we've all been there.
Yeah, but like separating his yard from the neighbor's yard was like this big like wall of bushes, and there's a little bit of a hill, and there were bees in it. And I remember like tripping and falling and rolling into the bees, like just swarms of bees everywhere.
Oh, no.
My granddaddy like ran out and grabbed me and, you know, pulled me out, you know, and I had nary a sting.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's because I'm Superman.
Yeah.
Later, postscript is I was wearing Green Lantern underoos while we were building a swing set. Mm-hmm. I got stung by a bee.
Well, they're yellow bees, right?
Yeah, see? Right? Yes, yes. You know what's going on. You know all the logic. It all adds up.
That's great. That's great. I had the same thing. I never broke a bone when I was a kid. And the same thing. I was like, oh, it's like Smallville, kind of. Like, my powers are showing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's so funny. Yeah, when you're a kid. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you got to build up to it.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, Superman, when I was a kid, I didn't really have any male role models around. I had a single mom who was awesome, but no, like, dudes.
Sure.
So I went to the library, and I was just cruising for books, looking on, like, how to be a man.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a book called Superman. And I was like, oh, that's obviously the manual, right? That's the best man.
Right.
So I picked it up, and that's kind of what it is. It's like how to be a man. It's you protect those who are weaker than you. You always tell the truth. There's stuff in the movie that I checked out from the library where he doesn't drink when he flies.
Right.
So I was like, all right, I'll never drink. And I'm 30, and I've never had a drink. And like, I took it very literally. Mm-hmm. And all of my moral code is based on that, like trying to be a man from Superman. So it's fun meeting other guys who have done the same. That's really like, it's exciting.
Yeah. No, it's finding like kindred spirits. I think, yeah, with Superman, I think going back to something you said earlier about like the need to believe that like power doesn't necessarily corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
That's my like core argument for Superman when people say he's boring because he can do anything. Ugh. I'm like, yeah, he can, but he doesn't.
Yes.
Isn't that freaking compelling?
Yes.
Isn't that amazing? And Superman the movie is kind of what we started talking about, but also Superman 2, they kind of are one movie, you know.
Yeah.
And
were they even shot together?
Most of it was.
Yeah.
I that was the plan, and then they got behind schedule, and so Donner finished Superman 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time they're ready to work on 2, the Saul Kinz, the producers, fired him like jerks and brought in Richard Lester. And it's amazing watching those now to really see. You can see like in between certain scenes like what Donner shot and what Lester shot.
Yeah.
Just from the quality of the picture and also from the way Lois Lane looks, like she lost like a lot of weight apparently in between. So you can really tell like 1 minute Lois looks like Lois and the next minute she looks like really skinny Lois.
Hmm.
But anyway, one of my favorite parts is when Zod and Ursa discover his weakness, or Zod, you know, it's not, he's kryptonite, you know, it is a weakness, but his real, to them, his weakness, which I think is his strength, is that he really cares about humans.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he can't be hurt, but we can, and that will crush him more than anything.
Yeah, yeah. He can still, he has a heart, yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, any comic or any story with a guy's name on the title, that guy's not going to die. If you're reading Aquaman, he's unkillable because the book's called Aquaman,
sure.
It's the same as any comic. You're never really believing these guys are in physical jeopardy.
Right.
It's about, like, the themes and about, like, yeah, the emotional stakes. Superman is, like, he's been on the rocks with Lois with his relationship before, mm-hmm. and his parents have died, like these very relatable things that we all experience.
Yeah.
There's a lot of darkness in his past too. Like he came from like, you know, genocide, like his whole species is gone. And
So. I mean, that's a big thing when people talk about like Batman, like so edgy, his parents died. And like, well, Superman, like his entire world blew up.
He's infinitely alone.
Yeah. But I'd much prefer the version of Superman that, you know, mourns that and misses that, mm-hmm. but faces forward and wants to do good. He doesn't mope in it. I mean, that's the difference, you know, between like Man of Steel and the movie and Superman. The movie is kind of like the mopey factor, mm-hmm. in a way. Like, you know, if you're the strongest guy and you can fly and you're super handsome, and why are you upset?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Why is there any, and that's a little, in real life, I know everybody, we can, you know, depression and,
you know,
whatever.
Kanye West, the richest guy in the world.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Like, isn't hospitalized for being bipolar.
Yeah. So that, as I was saying that, I was like, okay, I get that sounds insensitive. But in terms of Superman, like, I much prefer Christopher, even like Grant Morrison's all-star version of him sitting on the cloud, just relaxed, because he would be like, mm-hmm. kind of, in a way, the most at peace, relaxed person.
I think like negativity breeds empathy too. Like things that have happened to you. Like Superman is a great person because he's experienced all these troubles and strife, and he knows what it feels like to be that way. Mm-hmm. So he makes sure that no one else has to feel that way. So he's not going to be like, he's not a reminder of how dark the world is. He's a reminder that like you can go on.
Yeah.
And I find that theme in all Superman fans too. Like, not to generalize, but a lot of Batman fans kind of feel like soft people who have fantasies of being hard.
Oh, sure.
And a lot of Superman fans feel like hard people who have fantasies of being soft. People have had like negativity in their life that they want to get over, and they want to believe in something, and they maybe need that icon to hold on to. There's a reason that like adults still have like Superman pillows.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Is there anything in your life that you, like Superman helped you through, that was like a dark period or any like?
Yeah. You know, I mean, every dark period, to be honest, like I mean, Superman's helped me through everything in my life. And, I'm not like the nicest person in the world, but I would be a much bigger jerk if it weren't for Superman, I'm sure. Yeah, like when I was 15 when my parents got divorced. That's a big deal, but that's when I like just, I mean, my dad read comics and we didn't have a lot in common. No, but we had a lot in common. We just, I don't know, like there's a point where he kind of maybe was uncomfortable during the awkward years of his kids, and just like, I don't, you know, he's not around anymore, so I can't really, I wouldn't speak for him, but just that's the impression I got.
Do you have Minute Crystal in your cave?
I wish.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he'd show up and he had a mustache. He'd be like, Jarrell with like an awesome mustache. But just comics and comic book movies in general, and Superman specifically, even though he was more of a Marvel guy, but that's kind of how we communicated.
Sure.
You know, even to the, like like the last time I saw him before he passed away, like most of what we talked about were comic books.
That's awesome.
Not just, and you know, I made him and he loved that I made him. I don't know if you ever read my books, but he, you know, like, he was kind of touched when I said that, you know, I kind of, one of the reasons I got into comics is because he collected comics as a kid and, and he'd talk about them. And I, you know, and so Superman, the movie, and my dad, like they're, so yeah, it's a huge, Superman's like a huge part of that. And yeah, so it's, that type of story has helped me get through a lot. And I'm pretty sure it helped him too growing up. So it's like maybe like a bond where there weren't a whole lot of bonds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that continuity too of like you being 15 and needing Superman, and now you get to create superheroes and write comics, and like some other 15-year-old now is reading Bigger Bang and is like, oh, well.
I hope so. I mean, I will say, even though like Bigger Bang's like, and it's not like, I'm not even trying to advertise, but if any character I've written is more like Superman, it's actually, I co-write Amelia Cole with Adam Nave, and Nick Brokenshire draws
awesome.
It.
Very
I mean,
great.
Oh, thank you. And it's like done now. It's complete. But Cosmos in the Bigger Bang, he's a good guy, but he's definitely lets himself mope. Like he's like Superman without the hope in some ways, you know? Amelia acts like Superman. Like she might, you know, I always say she's like Buffy meets Harry Potter, but she's kind of can do. And, you know, when bad things happen, she takes the time to mourn it. But then she's like, how can I make it better? Mm-hmm. I got to protect everybody, you know? And so yeah, actually, if anything, at this point, if there's any character I've written that's most inspired by Superman, I think Adam would agree too, because we co-write it. It's Amelia Cole.
That's really cool, because like the iconography wouldn't tell you that right off the bat. Like, I think a lot of reviewers jumped on to Bigger Bang because the guy has a cape.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I mean, that's, yeah, so he's a big muscle man with a cape.
Yeah, yeah. And, there's like a genocide in his past, too. That's even bigger than Krypton.
It's kind of his fault.
So that's why
it's not his fault, but he thinks it's his fault. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. I can totally see that's, you know, visually right off the bat, you know, he looks more like Superman. And that's actually Vasily. I mean, he just sent me a drawing of a guy in space, a pencil drawing, and said, I want to do a superhero in space. And I was like, okay. And then I kind of came up with the concept and then we went from there. But, you know, so that's, the look came from Vasily. And what's funny too is, you know, like Amelia doesn't really look like something that might appeal to Superman fans, even though I 100% think it would.
Oh, yeah.
Because like if you like the color Superman,
that, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to like, even though she's not, you know, she's a superhero in her own right. But with the Bigger Bang, one of the funny things, like my wife, Jen, she likes comics, but she likes like really, you know, indie handcrafted comics. And like she likes a different style.
Sure.
She even said, like, when the first cover of the Bigger Bang, like, has him, like, in his profile, he's, like, just ridiculously muscular. Mm-hmm. And she's, like, if I'd seen, she'd walked up, you know, seen that at the shelves of Meltdown or something, she would have walked right by.
Oh,
not
wow.
even thought about it. It's, like, that's not my thing. But then when she read it and she got the emotion of it, you know, and then, you know, it's, like, oh, she loves it. Mm-hmm. But she would never have looked at it. So it's interesting how, like, a non-fan ever, like, I don't know. Yeah, like a superhero fan kind of maybe would gravitate more naturally toward that than Amelia Cole, even though Amelia Cole's kind of more of a superhero.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a dichotomy there. It's interesting. Yeah,
yeah. And Amelia's kind of like maybe a little more like Jen. It was that does catch her eye, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's just funny to think that the visuals of those books kind of maybe appeal to different audiences, and you'd think, I don't know, I lost my train of thought.
Well, I think even Superman, the character, has that. People look at him as like a big, strong, tough guy punching things or mm-hmm. like slamming a car into a bunch of rocks,
sure.
People running and screaming. And like,
he's angry. He's a tough guy back
and there's
then.
No way to know like, yeah. that inside it's a guy talking about like, I'm going to stand up for this battered wife and I'm going to like throw out this guy who's charging too much rent in New York in the 30s.
Yes.
Like, you never know that from the cover that people would like. They make snap judgments, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with Superman and Clark Kent, the character in the book, mm-hmm. where people make snap judgments, and that's really interesting.
Oh, yeah. Clark doesn't, like you said, he doesn't look heroic, but he is. And also one of my favorite things is the Clark-Lois relationship. I like a lot when writers kind of touch upon, with for all his powers, Superman is a writer. Like, he likes to be a journalist. And being super strong doesn't help him as a journalist.
Exactly, yeah.
And, like, Lois is his hero.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part, like, I'm getting choked up saying that. Like, I love, like, so sometimes it's like, why would, you know, why, he should be with Wonder Woman, and everyone says, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he kind of was in some of the rebooted continuity.
They've tried
I think
that,
it's
yeah.
been rebooted and mm-hmm. booted again, and I think rebooted as I'm talking. But, yeah, I think they're on their fourth number one as we started this podcast.
They
but,
did the red and blue again recently, and I was like,
really?
Oh, my God, it's amazing.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, but I do, I love that. It's like, no, this human woman is, he's in love with her, not, it has nothing to do with physical strength. I mean, you know what I mean? It's about the integrity and strength of character. And he looks up to her talent. I think that's pretty awesome.
And he discovered that you can do more good for the world by writing an expose than hitting anything.
Right.
And that's really interesting. Like Lois has more, she's more effective in fighting evil because mm-hmm. she reaches more people than he does. And she's better at writing. And that's like, he can write faster because he has
sure.
speed, but
yeah.
he doesn't make, like, being strong doesn't make you good at writing. And as
right.
writers, I'm sure we both love that.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that part, that's something that I think there's a Chris Claremont, I forget who drew it. He did like a 3-issue Superman Wonder Woman prestige series years ago. And there was something about that, like, no matter for all his powers, like, the blank page still terrifies him or
yeah,
something. You
yeah.
know? I love that.
That's
like,
so
oh,
good.
Wow, that's
they hint a lot that he's mediocre too. Like,
oh, like he's pretty
like,
good.
In continuity, he wrote a book called Under a Yellow Sun.
And they
put it out as a prestige format thing, like Clark Kent's actual novel uh-huh. that he wrote.
Oh, wow.
And like, and it didn't take off. Like, it just hit like the bargain bin at Barnes & Noble.
I
and
never
like,
read it. Oh,
it's,
wow.
That's really funny that maybe he chose the one career that he's mediocre at just to feel what it's like to struggle.
Yeah, maybe that could be it.
Because he feels like he's cheating.
Or even it's not on purpose, you know, but yeah, like there's something about the challenge that maybe appeals to him. Yeah, I like that.
Such a great character. So you mentioned the reboots. Are there any reboots or any like Elseworlds that you're very fond of that kind of... that you go back to, like a Red Sun or anything?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Precursor to the, or just kind of, the way I look at it, there have been a lot of good Superman comics, but I feel like there have been more great Batman comics, mm-hmm. and that's not an insult to anyone who's worked on Superman. I do feel like most writers and artists somehow find Batman easier in a way, so sometimes I feel like the truly great Superman books are a little fewer and farther between. That could be just because I haven't been exposed to him. Like, I'm sure somebody could listen to this, but like, oh, he hasn't read this. Maybe not. But like as a kid, John Byrne's Man of Steel, I really liked, and
yeah.
I liked that he kind of, like, he looked enough like Christopher Reeve to me that
sure.
I could see Christopher Reeve in it. And I, And at the time, I liked the less fan, like, even though it's funny to say there are Superman stories that are less fantastical than others, but, you know, they're a little more grounded because the movie's a little more grounded. Part of it was just budget, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You can draw more than you can film.
Exactly. But I kind of related to that, and I liked those comics a little better at the time. So yeah, Man of Steel was huge. And then, you know, I read his Superman and Jerry Ordway's and in that era. I read those for a while. And then moving forward, again, a lot of my favorites are origin stories of Superman, oddly enough. Like, I love Superman Birthright. I think that Mark Waid nailed
it. I have a tattoo of that, yeah.
Yes, and what's the name of the artist? It's
Lin-O-Yu,
yeah. The way that he drew them, it was like a modern take, and like they were good looking in like a different way than they had been before.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought that was really cool. And actually, like, if I were making a Superman movie, I would just take Birthright and hand it to everybody and go, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, like,
Mark Waid kind of knows what he's doing.
Yeah, totally.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. That's perfect. And then another one that I mentioned to you, and, you know, the All-Star Superman by, Grant Morrison, Frank Quitely's kind of, I mean, I remember reading that. And that, what's funny about that one is that is like very kind of silver agey and gets pretty wacky and out there. But I love it. And again, it's just because of the core of the character. It's, you know,
I resent that the 70s own like crazy wacky out there stories that like silver agey means just like, well, people used to know how to write back in the 70s. Like, I love that it's a modern story with all those concepts.
Yeah, totally. You know? And sometimes, you know, I don't know. I wonder if back, you know, sometimes people weren't quite as precious about their writing back then. It's like, I got to hit this deadline. Let's go. You know, and a little Superman come out of his wrists. Okay, go. Done.
Yeah.
Whereas Morrison, like, kind of, you know, obviously he delves deeper. Like, he's another guy who knows what he's doing. And I'll say, like, I don't want to spoil it just in case anyone listening to this hasn't read All-Star Superman. But if you haven't, go read it.
Yeah.
The end of that book, I remember I was outside a pizza place, like, after work waiting for my pizza to be done. And I just went to the comic shop. So I was reading it in my car and, like, getting chills. I got a lump in my throat. Mm-hmm. I heard the Superman theme song in my head as I was reading those final pages.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. Like, very few, like, I love comics, but very few comics give me emotions like that. And so that was like, that's a special one. Like, that's something to be treasured forever.
I have a hardcover copies of those, and I always think that, like, if I know that I'm dying eventually, if I'm on my deathbed, I'm going to read All-Star Superman, because it's Superman's last story.
Yes. Oh,
and,
yeah.
And, like,
yeah,
that's a way to handle that with grace. Mm-hmm. And, like, all Superman stories have taught me how to be, like, a teenager and a young adult and a boyfriend and, like, a person in society and a citizen. That shows you how to die with grace and leave a legacy, and, like, that's pretty heavy.
Heck yeah, it is. Heavy for a book that has so many wacky moments, but the emotional core is there.
So good. All right, so we're going to take a break right now. So you guys go grab a super snack, and DJ and I are going to go buy some comics. We're at Meltdown Comics on 7522 Sunset, and we're going to go hang out. Let's do that.
Right on.
Be right back. All right, and we're back.
Hello.
Hey. So we're just talking Superman the movie.
Right.
Do you feel like Superman is a character that's more suited for film, maybe? Like, I think most people have encountered the character through film and cartoons than from comics.
Yeah.
So, and that was your first entry point.
Right. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. Film was my first entry point. But I think the character's pretty amazing everywhere. And even like in novelizations, like The Last Son of Krypton and Miracle Monday. I read those pretty recently, actually.
They're re-releasing those now, too.
That's what I heard. My friend Alex Chung sent me a text like, do we release them? My wife got me Miracle Monday, like, for like one of the first, I think, birthdays when we were together. You know, it's pretty awesome.
Gift.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I love that those are supposed to be kind of like tied into the movies.
Yeah,
like Christopher Reeve's on the cover of both, but those books have nothing to do with the movies. Like, it's so great and so. I wish he could have written more. It's Elliot S. Is it Magan?
Yeah,
Magan. Okay, it's funny. I read so many words, and if I never say them out loud, I'm never sure how they're said. Isn't that weird?
I'm like, that's kind of embarrassing. Movies, like Adamantium, Magneto.
Oh,
like,
yes, yes, exactly. Yeah. So I think he works in novels. I've read some good Superman novels. I don't.
Tom DeHaven's It's Superman.
I love Tom DeHaven.
That is my jam.
I love it. Was he like a stuntman on a movie about a man from Saturn that
that's
explained
so
the S?
And it takes place in the 40s, which is like kind of the what I think is the best era for the character.
Well, that is the thing. Actually, it's a good point because I know, you know, the tendency, and I guess by necessity maybe for sales and whatever, but yeah, the comics always take place in modern times and the movies take place in the modern times, but yeah, I think a lot of these characters kind of work best in the era they were created, like the DC classic older characters. There's a reason, you know what I mean? Like like Clark Kent, like with a double-breasted suit and a fedora, like that looks right. Not now, but back then it did. And that's kind of how we think we all kind of think of him. Mm-hmm. And even like the masked crime fighters like Batman and everybody, there's something about that era that they make a, somehow more sense to me.
Yeah, like a pre-surveillance America.
Right. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
That makes a lot of sense, too. Yeah.
And pre-internet, like nobody could take a picture of Superman and like Google his face and do a face match, right? You know, like, I mean, I might have seen this. I don't think I'm making this up. I think I saw a joke, like, you know, like Clark Kent on Facebook, but then it's like, do you want to tag Superman?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Oh, crap, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just, there are all these things that just, you know, it's all suspension of disbelief, though, and that's fine. But no, I think, I mean, I personally love Superman in the movies when it works, which is not often, really. I mean, even though there are things I love, like all four Christopher Reeve movies, I think he's great in them. Mm-hmm. But and Superman 1 and 2 are like, it could have been amazing. That's one of the things that kind of, like, I don't know if you ever saw the Donner cut of 2.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, you know, when my wife hadn't seen them, and I decided we should probably just watch the Lester version because that kind of makes more sense,
sure.
You know, without, like, you know, the wanting the history and the knowledge. But the Donner's like a glimpse of, like, oh, my God, what could have been? And if you'd done that, and what would they have done for 3? And, you know what I mean?
What's your favorite, like, thing they cut from the... from the theatrical release that you saw on the Donner cut?
That's a good question. I one of the things I really liked was how Lois first tries to prove Clark is Superman, and the scene where she like jumps out the window and stuff, like, and just like drawing his glasses on a picture of Superman, like something
that is
simple.
Good.
Yeah, it's so good. And it just, like, you know, there's a lot of Richard Lester is actually an awesome director. I mean, like Hard Day's Night and his Beatles, you know, the movies, those are really fun and there's a charm to them. But he didn't quite get the wholesome Americana sincerity of Superman that Donner did. And that's what really shows. That's kind of the problem.
Donner does the fun, like, there's 40s elements in there, too. Like, the architecture for the Daily Planet looks kind of, like, old-timey. And the way Clark dresses, he's a nerd, so he wears the old-timey clothes.
Right, he's, like, outdated.
Yeah.
It's like, but it looks right.
Exactly. Yeah. So Clark is kind of, like, hipster-looking. He looks like he's from Silver Lake.
Yeah, he looks cool to us now. But back then, he's Squaresville.
Yeah. Wear your shoulder pads at, Clark.
Right. Yeah. But, all right, wear shoes without laces. I don't know, like, Lois trying to hip him up.
Yeah,
but, But, you know, I think, that one's probably my favorite part. The Donner cut, I think, is more in my favorite is in terms of tone than specific scenes, you know. And, like, I felt like Zod felt more dangerous. And
he's great in that, Zod.
Oh, Terrence Stamp's phenomenal.
And I love that it shows you, like, he's so evil, and it shows you what Superman could be easily.
Right.
And it just chooses not to be. But that's, as a kid, that's frightening. And you're like, he's an inch away from that, you know, one bad day, you know.
Yeah. Right. Oh, I mean, that's the thing. Luckily, we trust that won't happen. That's what's so scary about Superman 3 when he, you know, goes bad. Mm-hmm. And I love their version of him going bad as, like, getting drunk and knocking over parking meters and, like, blowing out the Olympic torch. But
it's traumatizing, though, because it's threatening him flipping the peanuts in the bar and, like, knocking out.
Oh, that's still a serious, Christopher Reeve. I mean, even before they go into, like, where he gets his... when his suit becomes dirty and dark, which is actually now what Superman looks like in the movies for some reason.
Yeah, almost a deliberate choice.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's like, oh, man, that's evil Superman. But even before that, there's a scene where he's, like, talking to Lana Lang, and there's, like, some bus hanging off, or a truck hanging off a bridge, and he's like, oh, we got plenty of time. Like, I'll be there in time. Let's sit down. He's like... it just, like, there's something, the way he changes, like, his... I'm not rewatching it. I saw they also put, like, eyeliner on him to make him, like, look a little more dramatic. But
like,
just,
he's like, an AFI.
Yeah. But there's something about the way he plays it subtly right there where you know something's up, you know, and it's really, like, with better acting than necessary, which is why he's so good in that role.
And they always kind of play with that too, like when Lois dies in the movie and he, like, howls in pain and then he reverses the planet, even though, like, he reverses time even though his dad told him not to.
Right.
Like, there's always a little bit of that tension with Superman of like, he could do it, like, how far is he gonna go,
right?
And then he chooses to do the right thing, and that's what's so exciting. But there's that tension is important, and in the newer movies they sort of, like, don't have that as much. There isn't, like, the wholesome part. There's just the, like, what can I get away with?
Right. Like, let's fight. Like, his fight with Zod is... I mean, I remember getting bored at that fight in Man of Steel because, I mean, with all the technology, it just goes on and on. They're punching each other and they don't hurt each other. Mm. And they're knocking down buildings. And just if they could have had a moment where he saved a human's life. Mm. I know, like, Zack Snyder is all about, like, you know, they're gods and this is what happened. But you forget that, you know, he's a god who was raised by mortals.
Yeah.
And, like, you know... ideally, they're wholesome, nice people.
And story-wise, that would be more dramatic, too, if he was, like, trying to, like, run around, like, and grab things before they fell and hit the ground or repair stuff. Like, that would be more of an exciting thing to see than someone just, like, hitting a guy over and over again.
Yeah, it got boring. And that in Superman, too, that was the thing. Like, you had to protect the people. So, I mean, I like that. It would be great if, you know, he has to fight the bad guy, but he's has a handicap that the bad guy doesn't, like Zod doesn't have. They also need to protect these people. I mean, there's a little bit of that actually even in Superman Returns, which I think was a well-meaning, but ultimately
I love that scene, though.
That scene's great.
Yeah, Heat Vision?
Yeah. Where he fries the debris or whatever.
Yeah, before it can hit
hit people. Yeah, even though for all the faults of that movie, like they got that part of Superman down. Like they understood that I don't think Snyder did. He might now, mainly because of backlash. Like I have a feeling... Actually, I saw Wonder Woman yesterday, too, and I have a feeling that the DC Universe has maybe righted itself if they follow the Wonder Woman template. I'm like, oh, that's how it's supposed to feel.
There's a mandate in the Spider-Man movies from Sony that at one point, like, Spidey has to be saved by the people he's saving. Like, if you watch all the movies, there's a point where, like, he's defending people and it's hurting him to do so, but he's doing it anyway, and then they come to his aid. So like, they throw pipes at the Green Goblin, or in the scene with the train in Spider-Man 2, like they give him his mask back.
Yeah,
and
that won't tell nobody.
Yeah, and like, Superman should have that.
Yeah, oh totally. Like, also, I like though that scene with Spider-Man. It's like, hey, kind of nondescript white guy with brown hair. Like nobody knows who he is. Yeah, like it doesn't matter. But yeah, no, I love that. I love, and that actually happens, you know, in Superman 2 after he gets knocked out, and the people are like, this, you know, we'll go try to stop him. And then they, you know, blow him away like with their super breath. And then,
but that's important. But to it's have important. The people there. Yeah,
because there's and it's different than the Man of Steel. There's a lot more of like, and Batman v Superman colon Dawn of Justice. There are scenes of like people looking up to him, and like he pauses to do like a godlike pose in front of the sun, and like it's a beautiful image, but it separates him so much. And even when he saves like a girl from a burning building and like some weird Day of the Dead celebration that's like pretty over the top. I don't know. Like they're all like, people are touching him and he's just like, oh God, I guess I saved somebody. Oh, and he's like, looks so
he
like
furrowed brow.
Should
be waving and smiling and speaking Spanish. Yes. That'd be amazing.
That would be great. And that's
I'm an
thing.
Immigrant too. Yeah. How's it going, everybody? Welcome.
Oh, you wrote a beautiful scene of, with Superman, right? Talking about like how he, different languages, which I thought was really awesome. In the comic you wrote about Superman.
Oh, thanks,
and,
man.
Yeah, I remember like that gave me chills. That touched me.
Oh, thanks.
And that's what he should be. And even in Superman Returns again, like, you know, when he saves the plane and he pauses to wave at people. Or in the Supergirl TV show, I just watched the episodes where Superman's in it. And even though that guy, have you seen him?
I haven't seen it enough. I like the show a lot.
Yeah.
I just haven't had a lot of time. But I love that Jimmy Olsen is bigger than Clark in that.
Yeah, it's really funny because they call Superman the big guy, but actually Jimmy's bigger. But you know, I've only seen the two. I mean, I've seen the whole series, but so far I've seen two episodes with Superman. I think he comes back later. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the quibbles, you know, with the costume, whatever. And sure. But the actor captures, like, that charm of Superman, you know? And that's so important. Like, it can't just be a big, overly muscled, angsty, furrowed brow guy who has the powers of a god. He has to have the powers of a god and act like a modest, nice fella.
Because that's why the story's interesting.
Yeah.
Were you stoked for the Man of Steel when you heard it was coming? Like Superman, a new Superman movie, a reboot, a modern era thing. Were you excited or did you know this was coming?
I remember the first trailer for Man of Steel got me really excited.
Me too. Yeah. I remember being elated.
Yeah, it was beautifully shot. And I was like, oh, it was like Terrence Malick's Superman almost. Like, And there's, and I was like, this is Zack Snyder. And what's funny about Zack Snyder, honestly, at first, like I remember, don't feel like rewatching him, but like his Dawn of the Dead remake.
That is great. James Gunn wrote.
Yeah. It's a good movie. Yeah. And even 300.
He should do horror.
Yeah. But he kind of does. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's
oh,
like
no.
what you forget. Like, like Batman vs. Superman. This is like a horror movie. Something. It's like nasty. There's a nastiness to it that doesn't need to be there. That I feel like hopefully with the reactions of those movies and now with Wonder Woman and everything, I'm feeling Justice League is going to kind of tone that down. I feel like it has to.
So you and I are both two guys who like the Superman movie affected us a lot when we were children. Mm-hmm. If Man of Steel hit you at that age, would you be a Superman fan today?
Well, that's the problem. That is, yeah, exactly. No, I don't think so.
Doesn't that hurt your soul?
It does. It kind of breaks my heart a little bit. But then, two kind of funny things about that. One, I feel like, though, the Wonder Woman movie would affect me the way Superman
did. Yep, she'd be who you like now.
She was amazing, and it was sincerity. It was Richard Donner always calls it he says they wanted a verisimilitude.
Yeah.
Which is a ridiculous word, but I know I pronounced it right, I think, because I've seen him say it in documentaries. But
he had it, like, written up in the studio.
Yeah, there's like a drawing of Superman. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, does Jeff John have it
Jeff
now?
Johns, who was his assistant, and has carried that on now and like, preaches that.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Jeff Johns is someone who gets it, and I think when he's able to, you know, you can tell sometimes, I don't know, like, how do I say this? Jeff Johns gets it. I think he gets it. You know what I mean? I don't think Zack Snyder gets it, mm-hmm. but I think maybe with Jeff Johns' help and some other people's help that he will get it. Cause he's a great like stylist. He can do action. Superman looks cool as well cast. Like I think he cast Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman and he cast Henry Cavill. They're both perfectly mm-hmm. cast. Any behind the scenes picture of Henry Cavill as Superman when he's with a kid or he's just like smiling. I'm like, oh, there's Superman.
Yeah, he wants to play Superman.
Yeah. Like why isn't that on the screen? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause he's actually can be really charming and it's like, oh, that he just doesn't get a chance in those movies.
Did you see Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
I didn't, but I heard that he was really pretty charming
and
fun.
He's in a suit
that.
And charming. Like, oh, it's Clark Kent.
Yeah, yeah, it's totally. So, I mean, he's capable of it. But yeah, so I would say, if I were like, five or six and saw, number one, I don't think I would have been allowed to see Man of Steel. And definitely not Batman versus Superman.
It's so weird because he's called Superman, which is like the hokiest, cutest, silliest little name.
Next to Wonder Woman. Right? They're both like just like, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a cartoon. It's like Mickey Mouse. It's
yeah.
Superman.
Yeah.
And then like to have people saying with a straight face and being like really dramatic and scared, it just feels like having Bugs Bunny be rated R.
Yeah.
It's so uncomfortable.
I'd rather rated R Bugs Bunny. That might actually be funny. But yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's just, if a kid can't see a Superman movie, something's really wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so I remember even like with Batman versus Superman, I think I read something where Ben Affleck said one of his sons was too young to see the movie. I'm like, what is that? Don't you know that's wrong?
Yeah.
Even though Batman lends himself to that. Like, if there was a rated R Batman movie, that'd be okay.
I only feel that that's true because we keep doing it over and over again. But, mm-hmm. He's called Batman. Like, it's such a silly, weird idea.
It's silly and weird.
And he's a kid. The story starts with him being 8 years old.
Yeah.
Batman doesn't work unless it's a kid feeling like, oh, my God, mommy's gone.
Right.
And that's a very juvenile idea. And we try to dress it up and make it, like, this super dark goth drama. And it's about an 8-year-old boy who doesn't want any other 8-year-old boys to ever feel pain the way he did.
Right. And that's a beautiful way of putting it. The way, unfortunately, that happens a lot is he wants vengeance, and that's not the case.
Yeah,
I believe that that's the mistaking the core, just like what you're saying. And even like Nolan, Batman Begins actually is a great adventure movie that I think really hits at the core of Batman really well. It blows my mind so that he refused, he lets someone die in it, but
yeah, like, he flat out like doesn't save.
Yeah, I don't have to save you, but Batman doesn't snap any necks.
Yeah,
so Superman shouldn't.
Though. I don't know. I hate all that stuff.
Yeah, no, it's that was a thing that there's interesting lines. Like, if Batman lets someone die, it doesn't bother me as much. Like, Wonder Woman kills people. She's in war. Captain America kills people in war. That doesn't bother me as much. Superman should not take a human life.
Mm-hmm.
That would be like kicking a. I mean, even though he loves humans, and I think mentally we're all on the same level. Like him killing a human would be like, I don't know, like.
It's child abuse.
It's child abuse.
It's
they're like kicking
so
a puppy dog.
Much stronger.
Yeah,
and he knows so much better, and he's never in danger.
Right. You're right. It's child abuse, and that's where. Yeah, it's really disturbing. I don't know. And even I know Zod wasn't human, but just that scene kind of broke my heart, and I don't think I'll ever kind of get over that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're talking about like Superman the movie was your favorite one with Luthor.
Yes.
So let's talk about your relationship to Lex Luthor, because he's a character to me that is also kind of admirable at times. He's mm-hmm. a flawed guy. I literally cried when New 52 happened because I wanted there was no Luthor resolution with the old continuity.
Uh-huh.
Like I wanted Luthor to become like saved. And they're doing that a little bit now in the new books. He's joined the Justice League and stuff.
Oh, has he? Okay.
He does it for ulterior motives or whatever. But like I always wanted him to be like, I want a hug. I want like an actual genuine Superman Lex Luthor like reconciliation really bad.
I could see that. Yeah, no, I mean I think the core I love the interpretation of Lex Luthor kind of thinking Superman's holding mankind back. I mean, cuz there is an argument for that. If if we're all waiting to be saved, there is an argument for that. I love Gene Hackman. He's a great actor, but if one of the bigger flaws of the movie I think is the interpretation of Lex Luthor.
Mm-hmm.
But I would argue actually that he can be freaking chilling in some of those scenes. I think people they think of the Miss Taskmaker and the wigs and like Otis and like the boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And shenanigans, but he does some nasty stuff. His plan is awful. And there are a couple scenes like where he's like, when he's like this old diseased maniac, he's like, he actually, there is like this like really awesome undercurrent to his Lex Luthor that I think people miss. Part of it's like 70s fashion even. She looks so ridiculous. You know, mm-hmm. he's like a stylish, over-the-top stylish guy.
Sure.
I like the interpretation. I mean, that's just Lex Luthor as a crook. And I think there's a part of him wants to prove he can, mind over muscle, that he can beat Superman. I like the little more nuanced interpretation that you're talking about. He thinks he's doing the right thing, like, to get rid of Superman. Because, I kind of like that. And bringing back like All-Star Superman again, like the resolution with Lex in that is beautiful.
Yeah, like in the movie it's interesting because his whole thing is that he has illusions of grandeur.
Yeah.
And he should not. And Superman should, but does not. And that's the contrast there. Like,
yeah, okay.
You know,
yeah.
Luther's like wearing these like elegant costumes and he's in this like this castle that's really like underground.
Yeah.
And he lives like Julius Caesar or something, and mm-hmm. he's just like he has no value to society. He's just a parasite. He just wants to take and take and take. Whereas like Clark should have all those things and it doesn't occur to him for a second that he should like rule over humanity or be praised or anything.
Right.
And that's the contrast with those two guys. That's what a man should be. That's how that shows you. Like, here's one side of the spectrum. Here's the other side.
Yeah.
And then in the comics, I like the Luther that loves humanity and wants to like put that above superhumanity. But it's interesting because he wants to drag people down. I don't know. It's like an anarchist, you know. It's a pretty good idea, but I don't know if it could work. It's flawed.
Yeah.
And he wants to hurt somebody, and that's not the way to go.
There's a pettiness, I think, and like a lot of false bravado, mm-hmm. and inside he's probably just like a real chicken scale. Most bullies are, and in a way he's kind of a bully. And I don't know, but I do like that. I do love that. You know, people maybe talk about like Batman has a. He's certainly Batman overall has like a more well-known, colorful rogues gallery. Mm-hmm. But the fact that Superman's arch villain arguably is Lex Luthor and he's a regular human who's just really smart.
Yeah.
I think that's great. I like it. Like if Zod is a cool villain, but he's not, I wouldn't consider him Superman's arch nemesis.
Sure, sure.
There's two strong guys who can punch each other. That's not as interesting to me.
There's some discomfort in that though, because it's Brain versus Brawn, and Brain is the bad guy.
Well, it's
and
not
that's odd.
I think, and this is actually Mark Waid said this about Batman and Superman, but I could also say it about Lex Luthor and Superman too. And I am paraphrasing and everything, but I remember him saying in his mind, like Superman's a smart man, mm-hmm. but Batman's a clever man.
Oh, okay.
You know, so there's a difference. Like there's a, you know, it's like genuine, like Superman's not dumb by mm-hmm. any means, but some stuff that occurs to Batman and occurs to Lex Luthor just wouldn't occur to him.
Sure,
I don't
sure.
think, because he doesn't look that way. He's not devious. He's not always looking for weaknesses. Or
like
looking,
fighting dirty. And,
yeah, he would never fight dirty.
Yeah.
So, so I don't think Brains is a bad thing. It's just sometimes, and one of the heartbreaking things about Lex and that is in some of the better comics is, it bothers Superman, like all the good Lex could do.
Yes.
If he put his brains towards it. Like, God, like he could save humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the tragedy of that character.
And there's no reason that they both can't do it at the same time.
Yeah.
Where he's like, well, humanity has to be low because you're high. And that's not true. There's
not
a transactional idea that Luther has that is false.
Right.
Because he believes in a hierarchy. Mm-hmm. And Clark does not.
No, we're all equal. And, you know, I was like, Superman's an aspirational character. He's not here to totally save everybody and guide him. But like, we can, like, even as you and I have talked about, as in the real world where he doesn't exist, we look up to him. And I feel like that same thing can happen in the comics and the movies. He can inspire people to do good.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so if we're talking to someone right now who hasn't seen the movie, which is your favorite Superman story, and you had to pitch it to them, how would you sell it on them? Let's end the podcast with you selling Superman the movie.
Oh, wow. I mean, I'd say that we live in, like, right now we live in an era where, like, there are, like, 6 or 7 superhero movies every year now, you know? And when that came out, like, part of it is a time capsule. Like, it is important to remember that is the first big movie that took superheroes in its own way seriously.
Mm-hmm.
The tagline kind of sells it for me. You will believe a man can fly.
So good.
And I will say, even with all the CG and all the trickery that we can do, there's the way they shoot Christopher Reeve, even just on wires or in front, like back projection, the way he moves his arms and the camera moves, I believe he's flying.
Absolutely.
And there's just something, just that basicness, there's something beautiful in it. But I mean, and it's 3 movies in one. There's like Norman Rockwell America, there's 70s sci-fi, then Norman Rockwell America, and then like 70s New York. And it's all this, it's like a big, epic, sprawling, beautiful mess of a movie. And I would say if you can see it on the big screen, do it. Like here in LA, the New Beverly has screenings of it a lot. And that's the first time my wife saw it was on the big screen
at
a kiddie screening. And I wondered if kids were going to get kind of, you know, antsy.
Did they?
No.
That's excellent.
There were kids or fathers with like their sons and daughters, everybody wearing capes.
Oh, that's so great.
And it's beautiful. Like we're all there. And there's something too in our society now, you know, we have so many, it's hard to pay attention when we're watching something at
sure.
home.
Yeah,
I'm watching
phone.
A movie, I'm looking at my phone, I'm looking at my computer, I don't know, whatever. You go to the movie theater and it's this big screen. That's the way Superman the movie deserves to be seen, where that's all you're going to do mm-hmm. for like almost 3 hours is like stare at this big, beautiful screen and watch this ridiculous, glorious, heroic movie.
Excellent.
Well, I don't know if I pitched it, but I love it.
No, that was great, man. I love that. I love that. So thanks again. This is the first podcast. I appreciate you coming out.
Hey, thanks for having me. I love this idea for a podcast. I'm really happy to... to be here on the maiden voyage.
Heck yeah, heck yeah. So we'll put links to your books in the show notes as well if you want to read Amelia Cole or Bigger Bang or anything else that DJ Kirkbride has written.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
And we'll add that one that DJ mentioned that I wrote too, which is from the DC holiday special
it's
last year.
It's worth reading.
Thanks. Yeah. All right. And if people want to find you online, where can they do that, DJ?
Pretty easy to find on social media, like Twitter, it's at DJ Kirkbride. On Facebook, I have a writer's page. It's djkirkbride.writer. DJ KIRKBRIDE. I would say it's like Captain Kirk's bride. DJ Kirkbride. I'm there. I'm on all the social media up to Snapchat. And at that point, I have to tap out. I'm just too old. I'm never going to go, like, Instagram's it for me, everybody. But
So no Superman Underoo Snapchats from you at 4 a.m.?
No.
Cool. And I'm on Twitter at Eric M. Esquivel, which is ESQUIVEL. And it's Eric with a C, the way it was meant to be spelled. And online at emecomics.com. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Ooh, super friends with Eric Esquivel.